Today's daf is daf Pei, and we'll begin with Mesve, which is four lines down from the top. And the Gemara is going back now to Rav Yehuda, who said that in the case of Shituf Muvos, if one person who lives in that chotzer, in that chotzer that borders on that mavui, he wants to acquire a shituf on behalf of all the bnei mavui. He is, so to speak, the good Samaritan. He has to do a hagbah. He must lift it up. He gives it to one of his children who's mature, or his wife, or his eved, so forth. And it has to be lifted up a tefach. And that clinches the kinyan. So the Gemara now, four lines down from the top of Daf Pei, says, Mesve, what are we going to do with this price? It contradicts Rav Yehuda. It says, Ketzad mishtatfim b'mavui. How do you effectuate a sheet of mavui? Mevi'im chavi shel yayin, v'shel shemen, v'shel tmar, v'shel grogros, shel shar min peres, all these options. Because for sheet of muvos, we don't need a pass. We need any sort of foodstuff. And one of the bnei amavui can bring a chavis that has one of the different minim that we mentioned here that are outlined in the brisa, via mishalo. And if he brings his own barrel of wine, for example, tzorech lezakos, he has to be mezaket on behalf of all the bnei amavui. And if it's mishalahem, if the chavis of yayin belongs to the bnei amavui, and they're all partners in this barrel of wine, tzorech lehodia, he has to notify them and make sure he gets their approval that this chavis is going to be designated for shituf muvos. And we have to be choshesh that perhaps they'd be makpid, maybe this chavis is something special to them, they don't want to give it to the bnei amavui, so therefore we have to notify them and get their approval. And then it says in the Braisa, this is the most important part of the Braisa for our purposes, Magbia minakarka mashu. All you have to do is lift it up any sort of amount, as long as it's off the ground. It doesn't say that you need to lift it up a tefach, so this is against Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was the one who said that tzorch like biasakov is tefach. So the answer is, my mashu nami dekomer tefach. When the word mashu is used, often the word mashu is used as a substitute for a tefach. Now the Gemara is going to go back to the Mishnah that establishes you have to be mezake all the bnei amavui in the sheet of itmar shitufei muvos. And the Gemara now is going to present a double machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. And we can make a little chart. The machlokes addresses two categories of Erevin, and that is Erev Tchumen and Shituf Muvos. And we'll start with Rav Shita. Rav Omar Ein Tzorech Lezakos. Rav says, as far as Shituf Muvos is concerned, there's no need to acquire ownership in this chavis that's designated for the Shituf on behalf of all the Bnei Amavui. And Rashi explains, and Tosfos also supports Rashi, that Rav Svara is that when you have many bnei amavui, then each one generates an isur of tiltal in that mavui vis-a-vis the other members of the mavui, so that no one can be metaltil, no one's allowed to carry in that mavui unless all the bnei hamavui acquire joint ownership in this chavis of yayin in order to set up a shituf. So therefore, whoever steps forward on behalf, representing, so to speak, the bnei amavui, and he's going to be makne the chavis, he's going to bequeath the chavis to all the bnei amavui, he's going to do it with a full-fledged gemiras das. And in such a case, Rav holds that there's no need for any sort of a kinyan. So in Shituf Muvos, according to Rav, you do not require to be mezaka the shituv to the bnei amovi. That's against our Mishnah. The Gemara is going to point that out very shortly. Shmuel amar tzarch lezakos. Shmuel says that, okay, yeah, he has a decision, and he definitely has vested interest. He wants to be, make sure to clinch this shituv mavos, otherwise he won't be able to carry the mavui, but nevertheless, we still need a kinyan. Now we have a flip side machlokas between the same Rav and Shmuel in the opposite direction with regard to Erev Tchumim. Rav says in the case of Erev Tchumim, Tzarech Lezakos. In Erev Tchumim, we're not talking about a person who desperately needs the Erev because other people are generating an Iser. There are no other people generating an Iser. Erev Tchumim is purely a private individual matter. And if somebody is going to set up the Erev on his behalf, then we need a kinyan. And therefore Rav says tzarch lezakos. So as Rav says in Shita Mavos, ain tzarch lezakos, in the case of Erev Tchumim, the opposite is true. Tzarch lezakos. Shmuel says that although in the case of Shita Mavos, tzarch lezakos, but in the case of Erev Tchumim, ain tzarch lezakos. And Tosus explains that the reason for this is that the logic of Shmuel is that whereas in the case of Shita Mavos, this Shituf, this Chavish Al Yayin, for example, has to be owned by all the Bnei HaMavui, and that requires a Kinyan, he has to be Mezaka them. In the case of Erev Tchumen, all you need is to be Kona Shvisa. You don't have to acquire ownership in anyone else's Rishus. So that you have to decide where you want to be Kona Shvisa. So you send a Shliach, for example, to set up your Erev Tchumen in place in location X. You have full-fledged Gemiras Das, a decision that that's where you want to be Kona Shvisa. You don't have to acquire anything. You don't have to give anything. The Erev doesn't belong to anybody else but you. And therefore, according to Shmuel, you don't need a kinyan. Eino tzarech lezakos. So the Gemara says the following. Bishlema l'Shmuel. I understand our mission according to Shmuel. Hacha, our mission which addresses the case of Shituv Mavos, Tanan. And it says that tzarech lezakos v'hacha, in other words, in the case of a Mishnah, which we'll have later on, about Erev Tchumen, he can set up the Erev Tchumen on behalf of someone else, v'lo tnan, and the Mishnah, in a very obvious way, omitted any mention of tzarch lezakos as a Erev. So it means that if Shimon is working on behalf of Reuven to set up an Erev Tchumen, he doesn't have to be mezaka Reuven in acquiring ownership on the Muslim Shtei Sudos. So if we compare our Mishnah to the Mishnah later on, our Mishnah in the case of Shituv Mavos to the Mishnah later on in the case of Erev Tchumen, we really come up with Shmuel Shita in both cases. Our Mishnah requires Tzarech Lezakos, and that's Shmuel Shita and Shituv Mavos. And in the Mishnah in Erevin, which obliquely omits any mention of Tzarech Lezakos because the Mishnah is talking about Erev Tchumen, we don't need Tzarech Lezakos. El L'Rav, my timer. Rav doesn't seem to square with the Mishnayos. And the answer is that Rav is going to claim Tanoihi. The issue of Erev Tchumen and whether or not you need to be Mezaka the Eruv on behalf of the person who is acquiring a Kinyan Shvisa, and he's acquiring this Erev Tchumen, that is the subject of Machlokas Tanoim. The Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav, Maisa Bekaloso Shel Ravi Oshia, Shaholcha Lebeis HaMerchot, V'choshcha Lo, Ve'erva Lo Chamosa. So this girl, on Erev Shabbos, goes to the Beis HaMerchot, which is outside the Tchum of the city, and now it became Shabbos, and how is she going to get back to the city? There was no Erev that was set up, so her mother-in-law set up the Erev Tchumen on her behalf before Shkiyas HaChama so that she would be able to get back into the city. And now the question came in front of the Chachamim, whether or not this Erev Tchuma that was set up on her behalf is valid or not. Rabbi Chia told her that she has to stay outside the city. I don't know exactly how they communicated that to her. But in other words, Rav Chia is issuing a ruling here for all generations. Now, let's assume for one moment that the problem and the psul in this Erev Tchumen is because the mother-in-law was not mezaka the Eruv on behalf of her daughter-in-law, so the daughter-in-law never actually acquired the Eruv. That would reflect the shita of Rav, because Rav says in Erev Tchumen that you need a kinyan. You need to be mezaked for that person on whose behalf you're operating. Amar lo Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yossi, turns to Rabbi Chia, calls him a Bavloi because he came from Bavel. Kol kacha to machmir bi eruvin. Says Rabbi Shmuel, you don't have to be so machmir eruvin. Kach amar Abba kol sheish lo lahakum be eruvin hakel. Now, we know the following. We know that the eruv was set up on the part of the mother-in-law for the daughter-in-law. We know that Rabbi Chia disqualified the Erev Tchumen. We know that Rabbi Shmuel validated the Erev Tchumen, and he quoted his father, Rabbi Yossi, to that effect. What we don't know is why Rabbi Chia invalidated the Erev Tchumen. Iboiluhu. What was the issue that led Rabbi Chia to the position of disqualifying the Erev? Number one, the first possibility is Mishel Chamosa Erev Allah Umishum Delo Zichsallah. That the mother-in-law had set up the pass for the Erev Tchumen and she failed to transfer ownership over the pass to her daughter-in-law. Which would mean that if that's the reason Rabbi Chia disqualified the Erev Tchumen, then Rav, who, by the way, is Rabbi Chia's nephew. Anyway, Rav reflects the Shita Rabbi Chia that Erev Tchumen requires Lezakos. Oh, Dilma, but there's another possibility as to why Rabbi Chia invalidated the Eruv. And that is, Mishalah Ervallah, the Eruv was set up by the mother-in-law from her own pass, which is fine, but there's only one problem. Mishum de Shalomidata. She set up the Eruv without the approval of her daughter-in-law for whom the Eruv is supposed to be valid. And an Eruv Tchumen can never be valid without the approval of the person for whom you're setting up the Eruv. And we discussed this many times because if you set up the Eruv to the east, then you'll lose the west and vice versa. Although in this case, it would seem clear that she wanted to set up an Eruv to get her back to the city. But in any event, the Gemara thinks that there's a possibility that Rabbi Chia disqualified the Eruv because she, the daughter-in-law, had no knowledge and no approval of the Eruv. The Amar Lehem Ahumi Rabbanon Rabbi Yaakov Shmei. Rabbi Yaakov came forward and said to the various colleagues, L'didi mefarshin le minei de Rabbi Yochanan, I got a shmua from Rabbi Yochanan, and he revealed to us why and on what grounds Rabbi Chia had disqualified the Erev Tchumen. And that's because the case was Mishel Chamosa Erva Umishum de Lo Zichsa, which means that the psul here was because of Lo Zichsa, the absence of being Mizaka the Erev on behalf of that person, in this case the daughter, and Rabbi Chia therefore holds that Erev Tchumen needs, requires Lizakos, and therefore Rav, although he's against our Mishnah, but he's standing on the shoulders of Rabbi Chia. Now, let's just fast forward for a moment to Sheet of Mavos. Rav was of the opinion that you don't need to be Mizaka someone in Sheet of Mavos. So here the Rishonim say, even though Rav is contradicted by the Mishnah, we're going to have to assume that Rav has the status of a Tana, and therefore he could be Cholek on the Mishnah. And Rav's, the thrust again of Rav's logic that underlies the reason why he thinks you don't have to be mezaka the sheet of mavos is because otherwise no one's allowed to carry the mavos. So the person who is presenting the sheet of mavos on behalf of all the bnei hamavi certainly has complete gemiras das, an absolute decision that he wants to be makne the chavis of yayin on behalf of all the bnei hamavi, and therefore we don't need a kinyan. And Rav is going to disagree with that Mishnah on that count. So with regard to Erev Tchumen, Rav holds you need to be mezaka the Erev Tchumen, and that's why they passed the Erev Shel Chamosa, and that's why Reb Chia invalidated that Erev, because the absence of being mezaka is going to disqualify the Erev. And in that sense, Rav, although he's against the Mishnah later on, but nevertheless, he is standing on the shoulders of Reb Chia. With regard to Erev, with regard to Sheet of Mavos, Rav Shita is his own unique Shita against our mission, and Rav Tanahu Polik. Now the Gemara brings Rav Yaakov Bar Idi to interpret Rav Chia exactly the way Rav Yochanan had interpreted Rav Chia's Psak. Omale Rav Zera l'Rav Yaakov Brei Debas Yaakov. Ki Matis Hasam. Do me a favor, when you're on your way to Eretz Yisrael, Akif Vizil L'Sulma Ditzur, can you take a little bit of a longer path in order to arrive at a place called Mesilas Tzur? There you'll find Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, and when you find him, please ask him. Boy mine, Mishal Chamosa Irva, Mishum Delo Zichsala, Odil Mishala Irva, Mishum Delo Dat Midat. Why was it that Rav Chia disqualified the Eruv of the Chamosa? Was it because it was lacking in Lizakos, or because it was without her consent? Amale and Rav Yaakov Bar Idi responded, Mishel Chamosa Irvala. And the reason why Rav Chia disqualified the Erev Tchumim was because Umishum Delo Zichsala. However, as far as the final psak halach in both these issues, whether you require lezakos in Erev, in Sheet of Mavos and in Erev Tchumin, Omer Rav Nachman Aktinon, our halach is to be machmir, both like Rav and like Shmuel, Echad Erev Tchumin, the Echad Erev Chatzeros, the Echad Sheet of Mavos, Tzorach lezakos. Now some take out the gears of Erev Chatzeros, because that's obvious. But the Chiddush here is that Rav Nachman is going to take two chumras of Rav and Shmuel respectively with regard to Erev Tchumen and Sheet of Mavos requiring Lizakos. And now the Gemara goes on to discuss another category of Erev that's called Erev Tavshilin, which of course is an Erev that allows you to cook on Yontif for Shabbos. So you have Yontif on a Friday and you want to start cooking on Friday afternoon, let's say, for Shabbos, and you set up on Erev Yontif, an Erev Tavshilin. And the subject Erev Tavshilin is an entire chapter in Masechta Beitza. But now, once we're dealing with whether or not you have to be mezakef, let's say somebody is setting up an Erev Tavshilin on my behalf, does he need to bequeath and transfer ownership over the Erev to me so that it would be valid? By Rav Nachman. Now, keep in mind, this is the same Rav Nachman who just paskined in the case of Sheet of Mavos, like Shmuel Lechumra, that Tzarech Lezakos. And yet, he himself, Rav Nachman, had a suffolk, and he vacillated with regard to Erev Tavshilin, Tzarech Lezakos or ain't Tzarech Lezakos. Om Rav Yosef, mighty boy lecha. I mean, what's your suffix about it? And why was Rav Yosef so surprised? Because he said to him, Lo Shmiele, Hodi Omer Rav Nachman Bar Adam or Shmuel, Erev Tavshilin Tzorech Lezakos. There's another person also by the name Rav Nachman, but that's a different Rav Nachman. And he quoted Shmuel as saying that Erev Tavshilin Tzorech Lezakos, which would mean that Erev Tavshilin, like Sheet of Mavos, requires a zikui. Amalei Abaye, Pshita de lo Shmiele. It must be that Rav Nachman never heard this ruling of Shmuel. He wasn't aware of it. If he had heard about it, he never would have asked. Amalei. So Rav Yosef responds to the comment of Abaye. Otu be'erev tchumim milo amar Shmuel ein sarech lezakos. In the case of Erev Tchumen, we had a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Rav required Lezakos. Shmuel dropped the requirement of Lezakos, because as we discussed it before, it's only to be Kona Shvisa, you don't need a Kinyan on the pass. The Omar Ilu, and yet Rav Nachman himself paskin against Shmuel, Tzorch Lezakos. That even though Shmuel drops the requirement of Lezakos in Erev Tchumen, Rav Nachman paskin like Rav, that we require Lezakos. And therefore you see clearly that in this issue of Erevin, whether or not in Erevin you need to be Mezakeh, Rav Nachman does not always accept the sheet of Shmuel hook, line, and sinker. And therefore, even if I assume that Rav Nachman heard Shmuel, who rule that in the case of Erev Tavshilin you require a Zikui, maybe it's possible that Rav Nachman had his own opinion, he had a suffix, he vacillated. So Abai responds, Hochi Hashta, there's no comparison. Bishleim Ahasam, with regard to Erev Tchumen, I understand why Rav Nachman disagreed with Shmuel. De Pligi Ravu Shmuel. We know that there's a Machlokshin Rav and Shmuel, and Rav drops the requirement of... Rav insists on the requirement of Lezakos in the case of Erev Tchumen. Comes along Rav Nachman, he says, I accept the sheet of Rav. And that's the Komashman, that's the Chiddush of Rav Nachman, that Kichumen Demar, Kichumen Demar. So whenever there's a Machlokshin, Rav and Shmuel, as far as whether you need to be Mezakeh, Rav Nachman accepts the Chumra of both Shitos. Aval Hocha. But here in the case of Erev Tavshilin, Iisa Deshmile, if he heard the statement of Rav Nachman Bar Idi, Bar Ada, in the name of Shmuel, that you need to be Mezakeh, the person, in order for the Erev Tavshilin to be operative, is me commander polling, there's no one who disagrees. Therefore, it must be that Rav Nachman was not aware of this transmission in the name of Shmuel, because had he heard that transmission in the name of Shmuel, he certainly would have accepted Shmuel. He could only disagree with Shmuel with regard to Erev Tchumen, because Rav disagrees with Shmuel and requires Lezakos in Erev Tchumen. But here in Erev Tavshilin, had he heard the statement of Rav Nachman Bar Ada in the name of Shmuel, which require that Shmuel passed that we require Lezakos in the case of Erev Tchumen, certainly, if there's no machlokas about this, then Rav Nachman would not have vacillated back and forth, and therefore it must be that Rav Nachman didn't hear about this transmission in the name of Shmuel. Now the Gemara is going to address the possibility of, in a case of Erech Chatzeres, where one of the Balei HaChatzer is a Nochri, and the Nochri refuses to comply, can we somehow circumvent the Nochri? Ahu Turzina. What's a Turzina? Turzina, they had a storage house for ammunition, an ammunition house, and there was a Turzina who was a non-Jew. He was appointed, that was his job, as security person for the ammunition center. David Bishvivusa Rav Zera. And this guy was a neighbor of Rav Zera and shared the same chatzer together with Rav Zera and a number of other Jews. Amrule, so the Jews said to this Turzina, we'll call him, Ogir Lon Rishusach, rent out your rights to the chatzah so that we can now set up an Erev and we can carry in the chatzah. V'lo ogila, he refused. Asu l'kami the Rav Zera. The question came in front of Rav Zera, who was again one of the members of that chatzah. And Amru Lei, and they asked him, Maul meger midabishu, can we go around this Turzina and ask his wife if she's willing to enter into this rental agreement, and then we could be matir, we could allow Tiltul Nechotza. Amalei, Hachi Amrei Shlokish, Shvei Degav Rabba, Reish Lakish said in the name of some great man, who is that great man? Umani Rabbi Hanina. And the ruling was, Ishto shal adam areves shalo midaito. That you can set up an eruv based on the agreement and the consent of the wife of one of the bnei hachotzer. You can set up a pass, and you have to again gather all the bnei hachotzer to unanimously contribute to the pass. If you can't get a hold of one or the other of the bnei hachotzer, then you can establish the eruv shalomidas baila, even though the husband is not he's not on board, but you can gut his wife. And Rashi seems to indicate that you can gut his wife even if he himself doesn't want to participate the eruv. And this is a kula, a leniency that is built on a general rule called Ishto Kigufo Shal Adam. And with regard to Erevin, we're going to apply this principle of Ishto Kigufo in order to achieve an Erev. I mean, you could imagine there are X number of families, Jewish families in this chutzah that desperately want to set up the Erev. And one of the Joes over there, we'll call him Yankel, he doesn't want to participate, doesn't want to play ball with us. So he can go to his wife. Now again, this is a case of Ishto Kigufo, where a Jewish woman is married to a Jewish man, and she can participate in the Eruv Chatzero Shalomidas Baila to be Matir Tiltul Nechatzer. Now the Gemara wants to, by analogy, apply that same rule to renting out the Chatzer rights of a guy through his wife. And Rabbi Zera said, based on Reish Lakish, that this is a good analogy and this is permissible. The Gemara now brings another story. In this case, it was Rabbi Yehuda bar Oshio at Tepaskin. Ahu Terzina. I don't know why it's always a Terzina. I wouldn't start up with them. They could steal ammunition. But anyway, Davi Bishvivusa de Rabbi Yehuda bar Oshio. So he was a neighbor of Rabbi Yehuda. Amri Le, Ogir Lon Reshusach. So the Jews who shared that chutzah, they asked the guy, this Terzina, to participate in, help them out in the Erev by renting out his rights to the chutzah. He refused. Also, the coming of Yehuda bar Oshia, Amri Le, Ma'u Lemegar Lidvese, Lohavi Biyode, he didn't know. Also, the coming of Rav Masna, Velohavi Biyode, also the coming of Yehuda. And finally, when they got to Rav Yehuda, Amr Lehu, Hachi Amr Shmuel, Ishto Shal Adam Areves, Shalomi Daito. Just like a wife of a Jew can contribute and participate in the Eruv, Shalomi Das Bailas, so too you can rent out the rights of the Nochri and the Chatzah from his wife. Meisve, so the question is being raised here on both Rab Chanina and Shmuel, who both agree that you can get the rental agreement from the wife. We have a brisa that says Noshim she ervu vinish tatfu shalomidas baleim ein eruv ervein shituvam shituv. How could Rab Chanina and Shmuel say that ishto shalom ma'arev shalomidaito? The brisa says explicitly ein eruv an eruv. If it's shalomidas baleim, the eruv is completely invalid, and the shituv mavolus is completely invalid. Lo kasha. That which Rav Chanina and Shmuel said that you could rely on the Isha, that's only the Asar. That only is in a case where we desperately need the Eruv, because otherwise the other Bnei HaChatzah will not be able to carry from their houses into the Chatzah. And that means, for example, that Ein Lebeso Pesach Acher, they don't have another option of getting out of their house to the shul, or to any Rishus HaRab, wherever they want to go, except through that one Pesach, into that Chatzer, or in the case of Shituf, the only way they can get out is through that particular exit into the Mavui. And now we're desperate. And if we don't get an agreement, we won't be able to get out of our houses, so to speak. And there, in such a case, we apply the principle Shmuel and Rav Chanina of Ishto Shel Odom Mareves Olav Shalomi Daita. But ha, when the Brice says that the Erev is not valid, Shalomi Das Paila, that's the Lo Asar. where there's no Isra on the Shar B'nei HaChatzel Lahotzim B'atayim L'chatzem. For example, let's say he has a house that opens up into two different chatzeros, or he can go from his chatz into two different openings, entrances into the Mavui. So he's not desperate. And in such a case, if you want to set up an Eruv, and you want to have the luxury of using another exit, then you got to get the Das Bailam. You're not going to rely on Ishto. Hachinam Mistabra, now the Gemara says it's logical to assume that Shmuel would be Moda, that if there's no Isur, and it's not a no-win situation, but rather other exits, we do not apply the principle of Adam, Ishto Shalom, Arev Shalom, Yidai, Tudim Kain, because if you can insist that Shmuel always, under all circumstances, will recognize the Ishto, and she could set up the Erev Shalom, Yidas Baila, then Kashi the Shmuel al Shmuel, we have a contradiction between two statements of Shmuel. Diyomer Shmuel, Echon Mibnei Amavui, Sheragil Ishtatev im Bnei Amavui, Velon Ishtatev, is Bnei Amavui Nechnosim Latov Besov, Notlim Shituf, Shitofan Mimenu, which means that in a situation where one of the Bnei HaMavui, who always, as a rule of thumb, every Shabbos, he's Mishtatev together with the Bnei HaMavui, and in this case he wasn't Mishtatev, and now he decides he's going to get back the other people who share the Shmavi with him. He's going to take revenge because they did something against him. And he's going to generate an Isra on them. They won't be able to carry from the Chatzeros out to the Mavui. Then in such a case, Bnei HaMavui are allowed to get the wife's permission and set up the Sheet of Mavos by circumventing this person who refuses to participate in the Eruv. And now you see from Shmuel that Shmuel's statement is because he was Ragil Ishtatev B'nei Mavui, meaning that they required his participation, Ragil in, Ein Ragil Lo. And Ragil means that they were used to going out through that particular way of the Mavui, that's why every week they set up a sheet of Mavos on that particular exit into the Mavui, and now he's generating an Isar on Shar B'nei HaChatzer, implying that if it wouldn't have been that case, it would have been an Eino Ragil. For example, if there are two different exits from the Chatzeros into the Mavui, and therefore this person who's recalcitrant, he refuses, he's not generating an Isur on the Bnei HaMavui, lo. In this case, Shmuel's implying that you would require his Das. It's not a desperate situation, a no-win situation, and Ein Lasol Shituv Shelo Midaito. So it's impossible to say that Shmuel was quoted as a universal, absolute rule that Ishto Shalom Arevislo Shalom Idaito in all cases, Shema Minah, it means that Shmuel only said Ishto Marevis Shalom Idaito in a case where that person who refuses to participate generates an Isra on the Bnei HaMavui and they don't have another option. Lema Misayale, let's bring a proof to Shmuel from a Braisa. The Braisa says, Kofeno so lasos lechi v'kor l'mavui. If you have a Mavui that has only three mechitzos, you have to close the fourth mechitza in order to be matir tiltul the Mavui with either a lechi or a korah. And in this case, one of the Bnei HaMavui doesn't want to participate in setting up the lechi or the korah. And we're going to force him and compel him to set up the lechi or the korah in order to be matir tiltul the Mavui on Shabbos. And the Gemara assumes an analogy that just like we are kofer, we force this person to participate in the lechi and the korah in order to be matir till to the Mavui, so too, we can take a shituf of many different chatzeros sharing one Mavui against the will of the person, even if he refuses, in order to be matir till to the Mavui, and we go and we seek out the approval of his wife, as Shmuel had already said. So this is a proof to Shmuel, and the Gemara now on the top of the Daf Pei Amud Beis is going to reject this proof for two different reasons. The first explanation of the Gemara is Shiny Hosim Deleka Mechitzos. Where do we assume that we can force a person to participate against his will? That's only in the case of Lechi and Korah. Why? Because there are no Mechitzos, meaning there are Mechitzos, but in this particular area, we don't have that fourth Mechitza that closes off the area. And if the area is left open, then who knows, somebody may come in, animals may come in, and you need Shmirah. Again, there's a long discussion here in the Achronim. I don't understand what's going on over here because I don't see how the Lechi and the Korah is going to really close off the place. I mean, a Lechi is even a Mashu. In any event, In this case, since it's difficult to protect the mavi, we really need the lechi and the korah on the fourth side. Therefore, we're going to compel this refusnik, to participate in the lechi and the korah in order to be matir tiltul in the mavi. I'm sorry, not to be matir tiltul in the mavi, but in order to protect the mavi. But that doesn't prove anything about sheet of muvos, where the purpose of which is not to protect the mavi, but rather to be matir tiltul in the mavi. Maybe Shmuel's not right, and you cannot force the person to participate in the sheet of muvos by circumventing him and going to his wife. Lishnach rina, another way of rejecting this possibility of bringing a proof from the Braisa. Now, you may have in your Gemara the words, after Lishnach Rina Lamed Aleph, the word mitzad, shiny. So take that out. That's a mistake in the print. And what it should say is bebezdin shiny. In other words, maybe what the Braisa is talking about, where the Bnei Amovi can force this refusnik to participate in the lechi and the korah, it doesn't mean that the Bnei Amovi themselves have the right to grab, you know, some possession, his lechi or his korah against his will. It means that Bezdin is going to force him to do so in order to be mishtate for the Bnei Amovi in creating a lechi and a korah. This is not a proof for Shmuel. Shmuel says that Bnei Amovi themselves can force his ishtatvus in the mavi. Now we have a small sugya that'll bridge us to the Mishnah about what's called Kitusei Mechtashiri, Itmar. Rab Chiyo Bar Ashi Omar Rav, Osim Lechi Asherah. You can take an Asherah tree, which is also by Noah, it's been worshipped by the idol worshippers, and you could use it as a lechi. And we're not going to apply the principle which we'll see momentarily, called Kitusei Mechtashi Urav. Rav Shimei Lakish Amar Osim Kora Ashera. Rav Shimei Lakish went a step further. He says even a Kora could be valid if it's an Atze, in front of the Atze Ashera, and to be Matu Tiltu Lemovli. Gemara says, Mandi Amar Koin Teresh Lakish Kora V'kol Shkein Lechi. How much more so if Reish Lakish goes as far as to allow and validate a korah, that's an atzei asherah. How much more so in the case of a lechi, because a lechi has no shear to it. There's no minimum thickness or width of a lechi. However, and this will all become clear in a second, umandiyomer, however, Rav Chiya bar Rav Ashi, who says that lechi, you can create a lechi, a valid lechi from atzei asherah. He didn't say anything about a korah, but korah lo. Why? Because korah, as opposed to lechi, has a shear. What's the minimum size of a korah? It has to do with the ability to hold up a chatzi levena of shlosha tfachim. Okay, so it has to be strong enough and wide enough to hold up a chatzi levena, half a brick. And this is a sugi that we learned in the first perek. But in the case of a lechi is even a mashu, there's no minimum requirement. So therefore, Rav Chiya, in the case of Korah, is going to disagree with Reish Lakish. He's going to disqualify a Korah that was made from Atzei Asherah because Kitusei Michtas Shi'ura, which means that when something is Osir Bano, like Atzei Asherah Avodah Zorah, it's considered as if it was totally destroyed, because you really have to destroy Avodah Zorah, you have to burn it at the stake. So it's as if it was already burnt up, it doesn't have a shear. But we don't care about a lechi, because a lechi doesn't have a shear. Now here there's a long discussion on two different levels. I'll just mention it in passing. It's not really appropriate for a daf yomi shear, but problem number one is that although lechi doesn't require shear in rochav, it does require a shear in gova. It has to be at least four tefachim high. And therefore, if you're going to say you're going to apply the principle of kedusei mechta shi'ura, then, and if you take a look at Tosus here, Dibra Maskel Avol Korah, you will see, Afagav de Lechinami boy shir gova. There is a minimum shear of gova. I said four tvachim, I meant to say asara tvachim. Pardon my mistake. And the rochav has to be a mashuhu. So if it's completely destroyed, it's again, halachically, legally, it's as if it was destroyed. How could you possibly rely, according to both Rabbi Zeira and Reish Lakish in this case, on a lechi that's an asherah? Meaning, the logic and the principle that Rabbi Zeira will apply to Korah, Rabbi Chia will apply to Korah to disqualify a Korah of Atze Asher because Kedusim Ektashu should apply equally to a lechi, and yet, in the case of a lechi, Kuliyamalo Pligi, that even though it's an Asherah, it's valid. And here, which is something very rare, Tosis quotes the Ravid, who says that lechi ha'yavidavik ha'ksisim v'kosel havi lechi. Again, this is very profound, but basically saying that kintusei mechtashira doesn't mean that it's as if it's burnt. It's as if it's broken into pieces. In the case of a lechi, you can put all the pieces together, but not in the case of a korah. That has to be understood. Now, secondly, which again is going to occupy the minds of many, many of the Rishonim and the Achronim, is how to understand the machlokas here between Reish Lakish and Rav Chiya with regard to a Korah. And specifically, how do you justify the Shita of Reish Lakish that even if the Korah was made of an Atzei Asherah, we will not passel the Korah based on the general universal principle of Ketusei Mechtashir. And now we're up to the Mishnah on Daf Pei Amid Beis. This Mishnah is going to address the issue of whether or not we need the approval of the Bnei Amavui or the Bnei Achatzeros when we take a pass and we set up either a sheet of Muvos or an Erev Chatzeros. And specifically, in a case where the original approval was existing, was checked off, they set up already the Shita Muvos and the Erev Chatzeros, but Nismai to Ochel, with the passage of time from one Shabbos to the other, to the other, to the other, the minimum shear that you need of food for the Shita or for the Erev diminished, and we no longer have the shear. So in order to validate this Shita for the Erev, we now have to add to make up and replace that which is no longer there. Mosif u'mezakeh, but ein tzorch lo'odia. Somebody could come forward and take from his pocket, so to speak, his mazon, and he can add it to the shituf, which is now no longer kashir, in order to be mashal in the shir, and he doesn't have to notify anybody. And the reason for that is because when they set up the Eruv or the Shituf originally, they already had the approval of the Bnei Amavi, the Bnei HaChatzer. And therefore there's a tacit approval for the second round when it was Nismait. But what happens, asks the Mishnah, Nitvosvu, Nitvasu, Nitosvu, I should pronounce it, Aleihem. Now there are new residents that join the neighborhood. They move into the Chatzer, or they move into one of the chatzeres that borders on the mavu, and now we need a shituf or an eruv. These new residents, new men on the block, never actually gave their approval. Is here the Mishnah says mosif umezake, but tzarch lodia, that if you want to pull out mazon from your pocket on behalf of the new residents that came in for the shituf or the eruv, that's fine. But in this case, the Mishnah insists that tzarch lodia. You have to notify these new dayorim in order to get their approval. And this, you may remember, is against the Shita of Rav. But Rav Tanu Upolig, as we said. Okay, fine. Now, Kamahushi Uran. What is the minimum amount for example, a Shituf or an Eruv? And the Mishnah says it all depends. How many people are being represented here? How many members are there in this mavui or in this chatzah? Bizman Shay Merubin, we'll have to figure out what Merubin means, but if there's a large number of people, then Mazon Shtei Sudos Lekulam. All you need is the Mazon of Shtei Sudos. If you would break up the Shtei Sudos into its various component parts relating each to each one of the many, many Shutfim, you would end up with a very small amount, but it doesn't matter. We have the basic chashivus of Mazon Shtei Sudos, and that's good for all of them. But paradoxically, Bizman Shei Mu'atim, if they're smaller in number, then we need Kigrogeres L'chol Echad V'Echad. So let's say, I'm just going to make a very bad mistake here, but just for pedagogical purpose, let's say the number here is 50. So you're going to need now a grogeres of, you know, of food, which is the size of a dried fig, for each one of these 50 people. That's way beyond Mazon Shtei Sudos. So in that sense, in the case of Mu'atim, we have a Chumrah, paradoxically. But again, you're going to see that the numbers are going to work out, so don't get nervous. Amar Rav Yosi, b'med dvar mamurim, when do we require that to be a grogeres l'chol echad v'echad b'tchilas eruv? When they originally set up the eruv. Avol b'shiyari eruv, but let's say next week, next Shabbos, and now it became diminished, is then kosher. We don't need a grogeres l'chol echad v'echad, we don't need mazon shtei sudos, we can be mekil, and whatever is left over, that's fine. And why is that so? Shelo omru li arev bechatzeros el kidei shelo l'shakech es hatinokos. He says we can be mekil in the eruv, even if all we're left with is a kolshu, a very, very small amount of the original shtei sudos, etc. Is we're mekil in eruv because the purpose of eruv chatzeros, after they've already established a sheet of muvos, and the sheet of muvos logically should also cover the Erev Chatzeros and replace the need for an Erev Chatzeros, and this was a sugya that we discussed way back when, is Kedei Shelo Shakech, because the next generation will forget about the institution of Erev, because all they see is sheet of muvos. They don't know from their youth about Erev Chatzeros. They've never actually seen an Erev Chatzeros. But if there was an Erev Chatzeros, just that the Mazon now shrunk, and all you need is a kolshu to keep that Erev going, we don't have to worry about the fact that the Tinokos, the next generation, will be unaware of the institution of Erev Chatzeros, because they're not aware of the fact that there was such a mute in the size of the food. Okay, now the Gemara is going to analyze the Mishnah that says that im nismayet ha'ochel shel ha'eruv, even though we have to add on behalf of the Bnei Amavi, we don't need to notify them. And that's because it was nismayet. But the implication is that if it was kala legamre, if let's say the eruv was completely gone, completely consumed, then we would have to get the approval of the Bnei Amavi, and we'll see exactly why. But my askinon, what's the Mishnah talking about? Ilema b'min echad. If in the case of nismayit, let's say he had wine, and there's no longer a shear of wine, so he adds wine to the barrel to make up for the wine that left, that's called min echad. Is my iriya nismayit afilu kolen nami? Why does the Mishnah say that in the case of nismayit, ein tzarech lo dio, even if kol legamri ain't tzarech lo dio? Why? Because you're basically just reinstating the old eruv. It's min echad. Ela, but rather b'shnei minim. If the original shituf was, let's say, with a barrel of wine, and now the wine was consumed, and they want to get a barrel of dried figs, so in such a case, it's a brand new eruv. The Gemara says afilu nismait nami lo. Even in the case of Nismite, we would have to notify the people. And the Meiri explains, because when he's Ma'arif be'oso min, then anan sadi, then we can assume that Rotsu l'aniach as Erev Tchila, kach Rotsu Machshav, the same way they wanted the original Erev, they want now the Erev. It's the same Erev. But b'shnei minim, einonu yodim v'mein Rotsim le'arif gam b'minshu notel mehem achshav. You know, maybe that min is more valuable to them. It's rare, and So we need their agreement. So the Gemara says that if it's Shnei Minim, then under all circumstances, when we're taking the second min, and in effect we're creating a brand new Erev with a new min, they never agreed to that min. So therefore, even in the case of Nismite, we should require Hodio, we should have a requirement of their approval. This Sanya we learned to device a Kola, Ochal Mimina Echad, if the original Erev was completely destroyed, it was completely consumed. And now they're using the replacement Erev number two with the same exact min, Ein Tzorch Lodia, even though it was completely consumed. There's no need to be Modia, as we said in the name of the Me'iri, because of the Aran Sadi. But Mishnei Minim, if now he is replacing the original min with a brand new min, Boketov, we're starting a whole new Eruv, Tzorch Lodia. We have to get them on board. Maybe they don't want to give up this min for the sake of the Eruv. And the Gemara answers with a number of possible answers. Ebois Ema, I could answer you and say that the Mishnah is talking about Min Echad. And Ebois Ema, or I can offer in a second answer, the Gemara is going to explain all these answers, that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Shnei Minim, where he replaces the first Min with the second Min. And now we go through these answers. Eboy, same as the first possibility, who say the Mishnah is talking about Min Echad. They are using the same Min to replace the first Eruv. And the Mishnah would say, Nochinami, even if the first Eruv was Kol Lagamri, was completely consumed, we would not have to be Modia. Umay Nismite. And even though the Mishnah used the word Nismite, which sounds like there's still something left, Epis Geblimin, is Nismatimate. We're going to interpret it as nismatmate, which means it was kol legamre. Eboy Seymour, if you'd like, I'll give you another alternative interpretation of our Mishnah. Mishnei Minim, the Mishnah is talking about a case where he's starting with a brand new min, like an Etch-a-Sketch, a brand new Eruv. Is af, even though that he's now setting up a new Eruv, if the original Eruv is still around, no, there's still Epis Geblibin, there's something left, then we don't have to get his approval. And that applies even in Shnei Minim, because even though he's coming up with a new min, but it's only to replace the Erev that still exists. But Kol HaShayni, but if on the other hand the original Erev is completely gone, and he's replacing it with a different min, in such a case, we would imply that since it's Kol HaGamri, the Mishnah doesn't say this explicitly, then we need his approval. The Mishnah says Nitvosu Aleya Mosif Umizakeh, that if there are new residents that come into town, then you can add to the Eruv, and you would have to notify them. Amrav Shizbi, Amrav Chiz, there's also Meres. We have to conclude from this din in the Mishnah that for the sake of the new man on the block, you have to notify him so that he can participate in the Eruv. Is Chalukim Olav Chaverav al Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah reflects a Shita that's against Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that even for the benefit of those who've never been part of the Eruv, we don't have to notify them if we are offering our own, you know, digging into our own pocket, our own foodstuff for the Erev Disnan. When do we say that we require the Das? This is a Mishnah later on in Pei Aleph, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Be Eruvei Tchumin. We never know in an Erev Tchumin whether he wants to go to the west or he wants to go to the east, and therefore we must get his approval. Otherwise it's mafsid. You can't apply the principle of Zoch Liodom. Avol be Erev Chatzeros. Nobody loses a thing by having an Erev Chatzeros, is Ma'arvin Bein Ladas U Bein Shaloladas. Which means that even if he's offering his own food, and for that food he wants to set up an Erev Chatzeros, then Rav Yehuda says you don't need his Das. So the Gemara asks, okay, fine. That's where Rav Shizbi tells me, and Pshita de Chalukim. Pshita de Chalukim. Why did Rav Shizvi feel compelled to tell me that which is obvious? In a case where there's a new man on the block who joins the neighborhood, certainly our Mishnah says that you have to be Modiah. That's against Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda is saying that in general, even for a brand new Erev, Erev Chatzeros, Ein Tzarich Lodiah, Ma'o Detema. The Gemara says, if not for the statement of Rav Shizbi, I might have thought that our Mishnah could be reconciled with Rav Yehuda. And in Erev Chatzeros, you don't need to be Modiah. Aye, the Mishnah says, Tzarich Lodiah, Hani Mili B'Chatzer, Shebein Shnei Mevos. What you have is a chatzah that's situated between two mavos in such a way that it's open to both of them, and we don't know in which direction the bnei hachatzah will want to move. Do they want to move towards the right and enjoy the benefit of that exit, or towards the left? And in such a case, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you have to get their approval, because it's similar to the case of Erev Tchumen. We don't know whether he wants to go this way or that way. We cannot apply the principle of Zachem Yodim Shel Bafana. Avol bechatzer shel mavui echad. If there's only an opening, an entrance to one mavui, aim alo. I might think that in such a case, the Tanava Mishnah would not require Lodia, and he would be on board together with Rabbi Yudaka Mashmalon. That's what Shizbi wants to teach me, that we don't say so. But rather, our Mishnah is talking about a case of a chatzer which is open to one mavui. And nevertheless, the Tana of Mishnah holds Tzarich Lodia, and that's against Rabbi Yehuda. Hatam Shetzarich Das, Rashi says, Shetzrichim Onu Leida, She'eno Makpid Al Mazon, She'not L'mimenu. And as for sure, he's interested in this Heted Tiltil Nemavli. That's not an issue. But the reason why we have to be Modiahu is because there's a loch that a makbid al eruvo, ainu eruv. A person who wants to keep the eruv for himself, that cannot be an eruv. And here we don't know. Maybe we chose something that he would be very excited about keeping for himself. Kama hu shi uro. What's the shir for shituf? For a mavui. And the Mishnah differentiated between the case of Merubin, which is Shtei Sudos, Mazon Shtei Sudos, the case of Diramait Mu'atim, where you need to grow Geras L'cholech V'yechad, Kama Hu Merubin. What do you mean by Merubin? What's the magic number? And in such a case, all you need is Mazon Shtei Sudos, Om Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Shmon Esrei B'nei Adam. In other words, the Gemara understands that if there are 18, that's the magic number, 18 people who are in the Mavui, that's called Merubin, and at that point, all we need is Mazon Shtei Sudos. The Gemara asks the obvious question, Shmon Esrei V'Sulo, and what if it's 19? Ema, no, let's reinterpret Shmuel, Mishmon Esrei V'Elech. What he means is that from the number 18 and on, how much more so if there are more than 18? Umay Shmon Esrei D'Noket, from where did this number 18 fall from heaven? What's the meaning of that number? Amar Rav Yitzchak, Rabbi Yehuda, Lididim, Farshlei, Mina, the Abba. I heard the interpretation of my father, Rabbi Yehuda, the underlying reasoning of the number 18, and that is, Kol She'ilu Mechalko, Lemozen Shtei Suz, Beineim, Eino Magas, Grogeres, L'chol Echad V'Echad. If you have so many different people, the number is so large, the magic number is 18, that if you were to divide up the Mazon Shtei Sudos into 18 different portions, it would be less than a grogeres l'chol echad v'echad. Hein merubin v'sagi b'mazon Shtei Sudos. So that instead of requiring that we collect a grogeres from each one of these people, we have a shear that is absolute and is chashiv, and that's called Mazon Shtei Sudos. V'lo, but if on the other hand, if you would divide up the Mazon Shtei Sudos, what would happen is that each person would get less than a grogeres, is hein hein mu'atim ninu, that would be the number 17, not 18. And therefore we need a grogeres for each one of them. So when Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that Merubin is 18 b'nei Adam, and he didn't explain that Merubim is a number which reflects that if they would divide up the Mazon Shtei Sudos, each person would not get a grogeres, is Agav Urche. When he wanted to explain the Mishnah, is Derech Agav, he taught us that the Cheshbin of 18 makes sense, Kamashwan, and he's also teaching us that Shtei Sudos Havyon Shmonasre Grogros. We never knew exactly what was the shear of Muslim Shtei Sudos. How much do you need to comprise Muslim Shtei Sudos? And the answer is the equivalent of 18 Grogros. And this leads us to the Mishnah. We'll just try to quickly learn the Mishnah. We'll analyze the Mishnah tomorrow, Belina. B'chol Bakol Ma'arvin. In terms of Erech Hatzeros, you can use any foodstuff. Umishtatvim, and as far as Shita Mavos, you can use any foodstuff. Chutz, there are only two exceptions, Min HaMayim u'Min HaMelach, because this is not called Mazon. Mazon is something that adds calories to the body, and Mayim and Melach do not do so. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shua Omer, Rabbi Shua added another point, Kikar hu Eruv, you can't use anything that you want for an Eruv. You need a full Kikar, which is otherwise known as a pas shlema. Afilu mafe sa'a. Even if you bake this loaf of bread from a saw of kemach. Vehu prusa. Ein ma'arvim. A saw shel kemach is a massive amount of flour. So you have this gigantic loaf of bread, but it was cut, and it's not shalim. Is ein ma'arvim. According to Rabbi Yeshua, it's completely disqualified as an eruv. But kikar ki'isar, if you have the smallest kikar, which is the size of a small matbea, a small coin called an isar, v'ushalim, but it's not cut, is ma'arvim bo. It is valid as an eruv. And here, Rabosai, we're going to stop on daf pei aleph, omen aleph, on the top line. Just to quickly qualify that last point that we made about the number 18 as merubin, and why you suffice with Mazon Shtei Sudos in that case, because once you get to 18, so you already have a shear of Mazon Shtei Sudos. Let's say there are 19 people, then you will have enough if you divvy up the Mazon Shtei Sudos into 19 portions, equal portions. You will not have a grogeris for each person, because Mazon Shtei Sudos equals 18 grogros. And the kula here is that since Mazon Shtei Sudos has a chashivus, it now replaces the need, which applies in the case of mu'atim, of collecting a grogros from each one of the b'dei amavu. So that Mazon Shtei Sudos now suffices, even though if you would divvy it up, you would end up with less than a shear of Gogeras for each person. Okay.